but I think pastoring you should stay as. Today's message, stay in your lane, focus. Today we'll be driving, so put on your seatbelts and be prepared to stay in your lane and focus. A lot of times, many of us are drivers, yes? Some of us drive long distance. I'd like to take this moment to welcome once again Maureen's family, starting with her sister-in-law, Diana, her niece, her nephew, the rest of the relatives. Welcome, and we'll continue to have you guys in our prayers. Losing a loved one, it hurts. But God is so gracious and so merciful to comfort each and every one of us, even through your most difficult struggles. I also would like to take the time to welcome back Sister Fran's daughter, Joanne. Joanne. And the family here, you know, welcome. We may have missed a few. My brother, welcome. Nice to see you. We're not trying to put you on the spot. We just haven't seen you in a while. Some of us take Zoom for credit for granted. Those on Zoom, welcome. For first timers as well. Okay. During your travels, before you traveled, hopefully and God willing, you have taken the time to pray for traveling mercies. Yes? We all have. But have we also prayed for wisdom, for the courage to endure during our trials and tribulations? Because there will be a moment when you cut someone off by accident, and now they want to road rage and give you that special finger, or, you know, open their windows and throw stuff at you, or make hand signs like they are mute or something. Wisdom for the courage to endure. You know, when you travel, we travel to stay in our lane. And we have to do the very best we can to stay in our lane. On our faith journeys, God calls us to not just stay in our lane, but focus. There is freedom when we learn to follow God's unique path for our life. We all have the same path, but different lanes. For today, I'll share with you all the understanding of today's message in two forms, but the same path. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, Lord, I give you praise and thanksgiving for this blessed opportunity of sharing a message with each and every one of those present and those on Zoom. Lord, I ask for you to discard me, make me of nothing, that nothing of me should be seen but you most of all, Lord. This is all about you, that we may praise you, honor you, that you may be glorified. Again, I am but a vessel that you have taken, serviced, and continue to work on. I thank you as you anoint my lips, that the words that I speak are nothing of mine, but all of you, that each heart will be impacted by today's message, Lord. Bless us with the filling of the Holy Spirit as we, once again, we praise you and we honor you, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Every Christian has an assigned lane for an assigned race. Simply stay focused on Jesus, fixing our eyes on him, the pioneer and perfecter. And the same way there are mental benefits of staying in your lane, all the more there are Christian benefits. Technology doesn't want to work when you want it to work. We all, one time or another, have not stayed in our own lane. Maybe we got caught up in comparison and wondered why someone else's life looks so perfect and ours doesn't. Perhaps one will find oneself so busy trying to keep our friend's life together that we could barely manage our own. In the current age of social media, it can be difficult to focus on yourself or stay in your lane when most people's lives are front and center. However, generally, those are just glimpses of what people want you to see and not their actual reality. This type of engagement can easily fuel comparison, and take energy away from focusing on your own priorities. Sometimes we all fall into that place where we're so caught up with looking after everyone else's affairs that we lose out on our own. And sometimes, as a Christian, that'll drag you away from the sight that we need to see first and foremost, and that is God. Staying in your lane is a great tool to have in your mental wellness toolbox. It can be utilized when it comes to warding off comparison and with loved ones who overwhelm you with problems. It's not easy to let people you love fight their own battles, but you can't always carry everyone else's baggage. Just like when you go to the airport, you have your own baggage. You would love to help someone else with their baggage, but unfortunately, you gotta stick with your own. It's gonna be difficult, but hang on, you're gonna make it. Not staying in your lane and putting too much emphasis on others can cause anxiety, low self-esteem, feelings of inadequacy, depressive symptoms. Jesus also was busy in ministry, but he also stayed in his lane. One of the first principles Jesus teaches is to stay in your lane. Such wisdom applies not only to commuters, but also to busy people trying to establish boundaries in life. In Luke 10, chapter 10, verses 1 to 37, Jesus was busy doing ministry. So he sent out disciples instead of going to every city himself. In verses 1 to 16, he appointed 72 disciples to go out into the towns and villages to prepare the people for his coming. In verses 21 and 22, he spent time praying in the Spirit's power for his Father's strength. In verses 23 and 24, he counsels his disciples privately. In verses 25 to 28, he is tested by a certain lawyer and he defended himself with scripture. And in verses 29 to 37, more importantly, he told the timeless tale of the Good Samaritan to teach the crowd what it meant to love one's neighbor. And how about when temptation comes into your lane, when you're trying to stay in it and focus, but yet you'll have someone rudely cut you off, triggering an untimely reaction on your part? That's happened to most of us. We're driving, we're smiling, we're listening to some good gospel music, and you get a cut off. It happens. Nowadays, no one wants to use their turn signal. No one wants to be patient, let you go by. It's bad. Or you accidentally cut someone off, triggering their untimely reaction. Hence, road rage. Road rage nowadays, it's like the norm. It's the norm. You can't even say, you know, being Christian or non-Christian, still you are in a pleasant moment where you lower your window or you open your door and you say, God bless you, have a nice day. They won't even accept that. They want to go ahead and throw something at you. Being a Christian nowadays is going to be tougher. The devil's trying to shut us down. We got to stand up and continue to stay up. Here's a few readings from Ellen G. White. The first, it's titled In Heavenly Places, chapter 245. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What is temptation? It is the means by which those who claim to be the children of God are tested and tried. We read that God tempted Abraham, that he tempted the children of Israel. This means that he permitted circumstances to occur to test their faith and lead them to look to him for help. God permits temptation to come to his people today so that they may realize he is their helper. He is your helper. If they draw nigh to him when they are tempted, he strengthens them to meet the temptation. Temptations will pour in upon us, for by them we are to be tried during our probation. This is the proving of God, the revelation of our own hearts. There is no sin in having temptation, but sin comes in when temptation is yielded to. It's yielded to. So as you're driving, someone does the unfortunate thing of cutting you off. Your mind will go, yeah, let's get them back. But no, behave yourselves. Let God take over and let God deal with it. Abraham certified his obedience to God when, with Isaac by his side, he journeyed on his way in response to the command. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Genesis 22:2. Job was permitted to suffer. He was severely tempted, but he would not speak one word against God. Be careful, because like Job, he had friends and even his own wife were trying to come up with excuses as far as what was going on in his life. Sometimes we have questions for God, but if God doesn't give them to you, be okay with that. I know it's difficult, but be okay. The number one question we have when something happens, why? But there's a reason for everything. The same way we're dealing with this freezing temperature, there's a season for it. Soon and very soon, we're going to be in spring, summer, and back into the motion again of the season of where it's cold. It's but for a moment. Hang in there. During Christ's life on earth, the scribes and Pharisees, instigated by Satan, tempted him in every possible way. But he never allowed these temptations to lead him from the path of obedience. The enemy is a liar. Whether we want to believe it or not, we all have targets on our backs. Satan is looking to knock us down. He's looking to not just make you trip, have you fall down, but he wants to keep you down. He's a very bad fighter. He's nasty. When you're down, he won't back up and let you get back up. He'll keep kicking you. You got to give God time to respond for you, to let him fight your battles. Stay in your lane. Focus. Christ's example shows us that our only hope of victory is in continual resistance of Satan's attacks. He who triumphs over the adversary of souls in the conflict with temptation understands Satan's power over the race and has conquered in our behalf. As an overcomer, he has given us the advantage of his victory, that in our efforts to resist the temptations of Satan, we may unite our weakness to his strength, our worthlessness to his merits, and sustained by his enduring might under strong temptation, we may resist in Jesus's all-powerful name and overcome as he overcame. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The heart of man is by nature cold and dark and unloving. Whenever one manifests a spirit of mercy and forgiveness, he does it not to himself, but through the influence of the divine spirit moving upon his heart. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. Again, when you get cut off, smile, cheese, because some of them, I've witnessed it. I'm riding motorcycle, and of course, they don't care about motorcyclists. I'll ride up, look at them. They'll give me the bird. Sometimes I have caught a person videotaping me, like, okay. But I'll just keep riding. I'll shake my head, and I'll give God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom to endure during this moment that is very trying and tribulating. We have to be careful. Again, The devil is a liar. He is deceiving. We have to be careful. Let's put him on his mark and rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. From Steps to Christ, chapter 8, paragraph 68:3. Psalm 1:1-6. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Stand firm. Keep faith, my brothers and sisters. You are just as dependent upon Christ in order to live a holy life, as is the branch upon the parent stock for growth and fruitfulness. Apart from him, you have no life. A life with Christ is life. A life without Christ is death. You have no power to resist temptation or to grow in grace and holiness. Abiding in him, you may flourish. Drawing your life from him, you will not wither nor be fruitless. You will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When you decorate your vehicle, if you have room, take a small tree, the tree of life. See it as a tree of life. See it as an inspiration that Christ is with you. Christ is with you. Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. God, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. That is verse 8 and 9 from Psalms 25. The meek are guided by the Lord because they are teachable, willing to be instructed. If you are willing to be instructed, corrected, and guided, God will do that. He will do that. They have a sincere desire to know and to do the will of God. The Savior's promise is, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. That is Jesus saying in John 7:17. And he declares by the Apostle James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Again, pray not just for traveling mercies, but wisdom for the courage to endure during your trials and tribulations. It is in scripture here. You don't believe me? Look at it in scripture. You don't have to believe me. Make sure you look it up in scripture. But his promise is only to those who are willing to follow the Lord wholly. God does not force the will of any. Hence, he cannot lead those who are too proud to be taught, who are bent upon having their own way. So as you're driving once again, drive in a sense that, okay, you're doing the physical part, but God is doing the spiritual part. Please, always pray. Always pray. Identifying distractions to stay in your lane and focus. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. My dear sister, read it, our scripture reading. It was the New King James Version, but I like to research and I like to find the different versions that will grab you. The NIV version. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Today, I know you've noticed it on social media, YouTube, television. There are televangelists who are going for the numbers, not for the souls. There are TV evangelists who will preach a good motivation speech. And even if and when they use scripture, they twist it. They twist it. But I pray that you will be wiser in looking up the scripture and reading from the word itself. And before you do, pray and ask God to give you that spirit to discern it, to receive it. God will give you the chance to receive it. He'll give each and every one of us the time to receive it. But if you're prayerful and you are persistent and you are staying in your lane and you're focusing, you will receive it. Please be mindful. Identifying and avoiding destructive distractions. The Corinthians' sincere and pure devotion to Christ was being threatened by false teaching. Paul did not want the believers to lose their single-minded love for Christ. Keeping Christ first in your life can be very difficult when you have so many distractions threatening to sidetrack your faith. And it happens. It happens. At one time or another, we are all distracted. But call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon his name. Just as Eve lost her focus by listening to the serpent, you too can lose your focus by letting your life become overcrowded and confused. Again, it happens. It happens. Two questions. Is there anything that weakens your commitment to keep Christ first in your life? Give it a chance to think about. Question number two. How can you minimize the distractions that threaten your devotion to him? Identifying and avoiding destructive instruction. The Corinthian believers were falling for smooth talk and messages that sounded good and seemed to make sense. And it's happening today. It is happening today. Today, there are many false teachers that seem to make sense. Don't believe someone simply because he or she sounds like an authority or says words you like to hear. Search the Bible and check his or her teachings against God's word. The Bible should be your authoritative guide. The false teachers distorted the truth about Jesus and ended up preaching a different Jesus, a different spirit than the Holy Spirit, and a different gospel than God's way of salvation. Because the Bible is God's infallible word, those who teach anything different from what it says are both mistaken and misleading. Again, when in doubt, check it out. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Okay? If you're having a difficult time, reach out to someone. You don't have to give them details, but just ask for them to pray for you. And as the pastor said earlier, prayer changes all things. All things. What happens when we focus on Jesus? Firstly, when Jesus remains your focus, your heart is filled with perfect peace. Secondly, when Jesus remains your focus, you'll experience true unity with fellow believers. Focus on the Lord, you won't become distracted by the winds and waves of this carnal world. Again, when you're driving, trying to stay in your lane and you're focusing, you're going to get distracted. You're going to get distracted. But keep sight of what Jesus has to offer. He offers comfort. He offers peace. He offers joy. How do you live a focused Christian life? Use a daily Bible reading plan that is available to you and meditate on some of the verses. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth that is found in the verses and apply them to your daily life. Pray and worship the Lord each morning or night. Make notes in your Bible. Make notes in your Bible. When you come to church, bring a notepad. Because there is something worthy to hear, something to inspire you. There's also scripture to write down for you to go home and test. Study the word. Study the word. Why is focus so important? Focus is so important because it is the gateway to all thinking. All thinking. Perception, memory, learning, reasoning, problem solving, and decision making. Without good focus, all aspects of your ability to think will suffer. There's a simple reality. If you can't focus effectively, you can't think effectively. When you get cut off, you're thrown off your game. You're now in a cycle of revenge. But if you remain focused and you keep thinking clearly, okay, you'll make it. Question, how many of us on the Sabbath morning realize and notice that the enemy is trying to keep you from making it to church on time or from making it to church at all? The enemy knows. He knows that it's a Sabbath day. He knows that we get into our vehicle, we're smiling, we're joyful. I'm going to church. I'm going to go fellowship. I'm going to go be renewed. I'm going to hear a good message. The enemy is going to sidetrack you. It's going to sidetrack you. But here's a challenge. When you get sidetracked, smile. Cheese. And just say, thank you, Jesus. And just to give you some economic advice, it'll cost you less of wrinkle lines when you smile than to frown. When you frown and you have that angry face, that's a lot of muscles there going on. But when you smile, less. So it's even economical to save with a smiling face. Now, next week, I know we're going to be all smiling. 5 ways to focus on God and not the world. 1, consistent Bible study. Read the word. Read the word. While you're at work, while you're home especially. I know sometimes it's difficult at work, but at least if you, while at work, you have some downtime, read something, mark it, and then I guarantee you, I'm telling you, as you walk around at work, that verse, that scripture will be in your mind. It'll be traveling down to your heart, and it'll be making a change in you. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. 2, constant prayer. As a Christian, once you become born again, that is integral. You go to bed, you pray. You get up, before you get out of bed, God, thank you for another day of life. I am blessed. So you're constantly praying. You're constantly praying. 3, read books that grow your faith. Read books that grow your faith. Granted, again, like false teachings, there are false books. Do your research. Take the time. Take the time. 4, preach the truth to yourself. Again, as you read the word, study it, let God talk to you. Let God talk to you. Notice, he gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We're supposed to be listening more than speaking. 5, recount your blessings. Recount your blessings. I enjoy acronyms, and I have an acronym to share. Hello? Beautiful. Okay, so simple ways to stay in your lane, a simple acronym that may help us to remember how to stay in your lane, okay? S, seek to follow God first. T, take it 1 step at a time. A, accept the special plan God has for your life, and do not worry about anyone else. God has a plan for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. Whether you're a Christian or not, God has a plan for all of us. We are all God's creation. All God's creation. Why? Yield to others on the path with grace. The same way God has been gracious and merciful to each and every one of us, because we've acknowledged that, we've studied it, we've accepted it. Please be gracious and merciful to those who may be ignorant for whatever reason. They may be going through something like you're going through something. I'll go to work. Maureen and I will have a disagreement. I'm not going to take it out on my coworkers or anyone else. That's for Maureen and I to deal with, for to include God in our prayers. Be loving, be peaceful, be compassionate to one another. In your L, listen to God as best as possible. Shout out, shut out the other noises and distractions. A, ask others for support and encouragement. As I mentioned before, you don't have to give the details when you want to reach out for prayer. We all need prayer. We all need prayer. N, navigate the obstacles by staying fixed and focused on your goal. Your goal is Jesus Christ. That's your goal. We may have worldly goals, but again, being prayerful, we're asking God for guidance, for divine intervention. E, expect blessings as you learn to connect to God through Jesus Christ. Thank you. Stay focused. Keep your eyes fixed and focused. Take the next step. Walk the course God has mapped out for you. Move to the right for those who are coming up from behind you. That's another thing we all notice. The fast lane is no longer the fast lane. It has become the travel lane. And the travel lane has become the fast lane. So there are all kinds of twistings and misconceptions going on. So if you're in the fast lane and you're traveling and you see someone coming up from behind you, move over. Move over. Because if you don't move over, then I guarantee you more than likely you're going to get cut off. You're going to get all kinds of negative reaction. Pass on the left for those who are taking their time. You're traveling in the travel lane, you want to pass over, do that. Do that. And I noticed that when you're traveling in the travel lane, you can't, they don't want you to travel, they want you to go. They're speeding, so they want you to speed, but yet we're being conscious and we want to obey the law, and things get nasty. Got to stay focused. Slow down and step in pace with those who may need encouragement. But stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. You want to help someone out? Offer it. Be there for them and let them know whatever you need, because, you know, I'll help you out. But do not overstep your boundaries. Do not overstep your boundaries. Stay in your lane and focus. To conclude, Bible verses that encourage us to stay in our lane. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We don't have to worry about who is coming up behind us or who is up ahead, because our Heavenly Father is handling the lane changes. Let's focus on what God has for us. Proverbs 4:25-27. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. We can trust him as we walk the path he has set for us, doing what he has called us to do. It's so easy for us to look at others on the path and want to do something else. We want to be faster or slicker, or we just want to be able to take it easy. Again, be mindful. And last but not least, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This I leave with you, my brothers and sisters. Again, stay in your lane and focus, for Jesus is the greatest reward we can ever receive. Amen.